You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
For the last time ever.
Nope.
Ever?
No.
Ever.
This isn't even the last of Classic Who.
What?
We've got two more episodes. Three, kind of, before we even get to New Who.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, the movie.
And we're going to do a classic Doctor Who special. This is just the seventh Doctor special.
Oh. What? We're doing what?
I swear, I tell you all of these things, and you just, you don't listen to them.
I listen, I don't retain.
Okay, let's play the theme song. We're going to be talking about the Seventh Doctor era, played by Sylvester McCoy. This era consists of three seasons, which consists of 12 serials, which consists of 42 episodes that aired from September 7th, 1987 to December 6th, 1989. That's about 2 years, right?
Sure.
We watched it starting September 19th, 2021, and we finished watching it April 17th, 2022. About 7 months. Not quite. I had to count on my fingers.
True facts!
But we did it. We watched all of the Seventh Doctor. And all of classic Doctor Who. Do you feel accomplished?
Not in any way, shape, or form. Do you?
Yes. I feel like my life is complete now.
You could die today.
I mean, there's still new Doctor Who. I can only go when Doctor Who is completely finished. Plus, I gotta watch and listen and read all of the expanded stuff. So,
right.
So that'll keep me going. That'll keep me alive for a while.
Are we gonna talk about, there's been big Doctor Who news.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's, before we talk about 7, let's double that and talk about 14. Oh!
Wow. Wowie, wow, wow.
Right before we started recording this podcast, they announced who the 14th Doctor is gonna be. Shruti Gatwa. How do you feel about that?
I don't know this person. Seems neat.
Same. I know he's in a show called Sex Education, which I've heard good things about, but I haven't seen. But I did watch a compilation of his character from it to get kind of an idea of his acting ability. And seems good. I'm excited. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel a little bummed that it's not a woman, but still, seems good. I am getting a little annoyed. I've seen a few articles refer to him as the first person of color to play the Doctor. And that's not true.
That's not true. I was reading really hard to just make Ruth the next Doctor somehow.
Yeah, I would have been cool with that. But we're I just want more. Finish. I hope she shows up in the next episode. Jodie's last. It'd be weird if she didn't. Because I feel like there's a lot of unresolved Chibnall plot lines.
Anyway, I don't know if Chibnall's interested in resolving stuff.
No, he's just interested in fucking shit up for no reason. Then leaving. He straight up said he expects that Russell T. Davies will just ignore everything.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, then that'll be fine. But like, then why do it? I don't get it. Anyway, let's not talk about this anymore. Let's talk about the Seventh Doctor. What do you say?
Let's do it.
This is what we do first in these specials. Last Doctor, the Sixth Doctor, when we did the special on him, we gave some predictions of what we thought the Seventh Doctor era would be like or would contain. And let's see how well we did. What do you say?
All right.
All right. These are our Seventh Doctor predictions. Let's see how we did. Tony, you predicted that you are going to love Ace to pieces and that she will be your favorite companion.
10 out of 10. Nailed that shit.
Nailed it? Like favorite all-time companion?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me clarify this.
Okay.
Just Classic Who or Classic and New Who? Like, has she toppled Donna Noble?
Donna Noble? I don't know. I'd really like to see them hang out.
Well, we're going to see Ace and New Who soon.
I know.
Wait, so more than Adric?
I don't know. You know how much I love Adric. I would have a hard time, like, choosing between, like, Ian or, like, Vicky.
Like, you love the first Doctor companion so much.
They're all so cute. They're just a cute little family.
What about Jamie? What about Zoe?
Jamie and Zoe are good.
Okay, so that's your first prediction. You got that right. Your second one was, I'm gonna like the seventh Doctor a lot. Which wow. seems like easy prediction there. Low-hanging fruit.
I am gifted with the sight of the future.
So you do like the seventh Doctor a lot?
I do.
Oh, that's weird, because I hated it. Hated him.
This is a good era of Doctor Who.
I'm joking. I loved him. All right, so you're 2 for 2 so far. The next one is my prediction. I said, he'll be like 2, goofy, but with a plan. And I feel like I'm half right.
Half right. Explain.
Because 2 was goofy with a plan, but at the same time, and I feel like those two sides of Sylvester McCoy were split. He was goofy to begin with, and then he was the guy with a plan later.
Mm.
Like, at the beginning part of his era, he was definitely more goofy.
Like, he gets more dangerous as he goes.
Yeah, and he gets less goofy. Like, he still has occasional moments of goofiness, but not anywhere near as much as, like, the beginning. Like, I mean, there was that bit in, like, Curse of Fenric where he dropped the thing on his foot and was jumping around. But, like, the beginning of his run, he had that running gag where he would just say sayings wrong. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that, like, that quickly went away and turned into him just being like, I'm gonna fuck your shit up.
I think what's great about him is that he's very good at both things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll go from, like, what is very clearly, like, a clown routine to, like, some monologue, and you're just like, damn, you're so good at both of those things!
Well, how do you think I did on this prediction?
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Your next prediction was, this era will be so 80s.
Wow, I'm just so good at looking into the future. and saying things that we couldn't possibly know would be true, but are.
Yeah. It's pretty 80s. It's pretty 80s.
It's pretty 80s.
I'd say some of it seemed early 90s.
Would you say that?
Yeah. Like, I'd say Curse of Fenric doesn't feel very 80s, but it feels like X-Files era 90s.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, I'll give you that one. You're 3 for 3, I'm 1 for 1. My next prediction was, it's gonna be like the final season of The Fourth Doctor, but better.
What the fuck does that mean?
The last season of 4 was weirdly experimental. It had, like, the Leisure Hive, which I didn't like, but it had, like, interesting visuals. It had Warrior's Gate. It had, like, a lot of, like, they were trying to shake things up.
It was doing weird shit.
Yeah. Some of it's successful, some of it not. So I thought it was going to be more experimental, but everything meshes together better than it did. I don't know if it did get that much more experimental. The plots got more cohesive, but I don't think it got more experimental. In fact, I think it maybe got...
There's definitely some weird shit happening, for sure.
But, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, like, they start having character arcs that they never really done before, or at least this successfully.
Right.
And that's not really experimental. That's just better storytelling, you know what I mean?
The experiment was, what if we made this good?
Like, the closest ones to experimental is Ghostlight, Happiness Patrol, and...
God, I love Happiness Patrol.
There's another one. Paradise Towers.
The aesthetic of Happiness Patrol sticks with you, like, way longer than the plot.
That and Paradise Towers both have that same sort of vibe. But I don't know if I'd say experimental necessarily. I definitely don't feel like it was like the last season of The Fourth Doctor. I think I got this prediction wrong.
Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Okay, but I didn't say something like, oh, I think Sylvester McCoy will be in it.
If I had said that, I'd have been right.
But you didn't. So let's move on to your actual next prediction. You said, it'll be campier.
I don't know if this is right or not.
I don't know either. It's definitely not campier than, say, like, the Douglas Adams era.
I would say that it uses camp effectively, not that it's overall
but
campier.
It's also darker.
Yeah. I guess I won't give it to me.
All right. So you're 3 for 4, and I'm 1 for 2. Wow, you had a lot of predictions.
I don't recall saying any of these words.
I only know you said them because I listened to them the other night. My next prediction is, they will be better at telling a season-long story. And yeah, I think they are. Like, there's not necessarily a...
like a season arc?
Arc, but there is... there are character arcs, specifically Ace.
Yeah,
right. A little bit the Doctor. The Doctor does get progressively more guy with a plan. But, like Curse of Fenric especially pays off a lot of, like, stuff throughout the season that I don't think they've really done before. So, yeah, I'm going to count this one. Because you were doing better than me, and I want it.
Okay, all right,
here's where we got weird. You predicted a companion will stab someone with a knife.
I recall being kind of forced into this prediction, because my previous ones had been too vague.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, you gotta do, like, a real one. Mm-hmm. And that was the best they could come up with.
Did it happen?
No? No?
I don't think so.
Did Ace stab anyone?
I don't think Ace ever had a knife. She had a sword once.
But did she stab anyone with the sword?
No, she gave it to the Doctor.
Damn it.
My next prediction is a companion will stab someone with a gun.
I don't think that happens.
I don't think that happens.
Ace did have a gun.
Ace had a gun?
Ace shot the toaster heads.
Cybermen. Yes. She didn't shoot them with a gun.
Oh, you're right. She had a slingshot.
Slingshot. Oh, if only you would have guessed that the companion killed someone with a slingshot. My next one was the Doctor will shoot someone with a gun. I don't think he shot anyone with a gun. I can't remember. I don't recall, but I don't think he did. And I said, my last prediction is there will be retconning of Gallifreyan lore.
Wrong era.
There are hints at it, but they don't actually ever do anything. I mean, we get a little more lore about Rassilon, because, like, the whole Hand of Omega thing and all that. And they hint that the Doctor is this guy called the Other or whatever, but they never pull the trigger on anything.
One of my continued fascinations about this era is how much I love the characters and hate any of the lore they wanted to establish.
But they never actually establish any of it, so it's fine. I think they do in the books, but, like, Ghostlight was originally going to be all about the Doctor's past, and they're like, no, that's too much. But that's our predictions. I think you won.
I did so good. I predicted things we couldn't possibly have foreseen. You're welcome.
You got 3 out of 5. I got 2 out of 6.
To be fair, so many of yours were stupid.
2 of them were stupid. The rest of them were pretty well thought out. They just didn't pay off. All right, so now we get to go. We're moving on to the segment where we rank the companions.
Ace.
And then?
Was number one. We did it. Moving on to the next.
No, there's 2 companions this season. Minimum.
Who?
Mel.
Mel's in this?
Mel was in a whole fucking season. She's in 4 serials.
What? Where? When?
Time and the Ronnie, Delta and the Bannerman.
Oh, shit.
Dragonfire.
Oh, shit.
Another one.
That was so long ago. Okay, Ace, Mel, done. Moving on to...
If you want to get picky about it, what about the Brig?
For fuck's sake. What about the Brig, Joseph?
He was in a serial. Does he count? Does he count as a companion?
For this era?
Yeah.
No, he's a cameo.
I guess that's fair. Well, K-9 appeared in a little brief educational program with the Doctor, Ace, and K-9.
What are you saying to me right now?
Last time, we counted Tegan's hair as a 6th Doctor companion.
But I don't regret that. This is nonsense.
I mean, he's just as much of a companion as whoever the fuck that kid was, whose name I'm forgetting.
Also, don't regret that. We were correct in ranking that kid so high. That kid, one of the best Doctor Who companions of all time.
So you said no to the Brig and no to K-9.
No, those are cameos at best.
Last era, you also did not count Sabalom Glitz.
I'll never fucking count Glitz.
You said no to him last era. Does that still hold for this era?
Forever.
Okay, but he did appear in this. He's been in eras.
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan of Sabalom Glitz?
He's a rude boy.
He could have been ruder.
He
could have fucked Ace.
Gross. No, it's not canon. That's yucky forever. No, thank you.
That's it for the command. Well, do you want to talk about Mel and Ace any before we continue on?
What would you like to say? Because I'm looking at your rankings. You have ranked 5 companions.
Oh, I didn't rank them. I just listed them.
Oh, okay. I thought these were your rankings.
My ranking is Ace, then Mel. Mel does not best Ace
no.
in the universe. I think we had Mel at the top for the last one.
Yeah.
Because it was up against Perry.
Mel is a first-rate sixth Doctor companion and a second-rate seventh Doctor companion.
But she's still, I think she's still cute and still fine. She had that really cool, like, cowboy outfit and Delta and the Bannerman I liked.
That's true. That's true.
She flipped the Doctor over her head when she first met him, the seventh Doctor, specifically. Because we don't actually know when she met the sixth Doctor. We never got to see it.
I'm still messed up by that.
But yeah, Ace is amazing. Just everything about Ace is Ace. Ace. Wicked.
Did you ever... Well, you didn't. Did anyone else ever play volleyball? And an Ace is when you...
I played volleyball.
You played volleyball?
I played volleyball.
On like a team? You were homeschooled.
I played it at a local school. A church school.
So you know what an Ace is?
No. I said I played it. I didn't say I understood the rules. I played baseball for years.
An Ace is when you serve the ball and it hits straight the first time. There's no like back and forth. And so in volleyball, when you get one, you go, A, C, E, Ace.
No, you don't. and then there's nothing about Ace that is straight.
No.
Despite people trying to make her so.
It's so clearly obvious
it's that guy,
she isn't.
It's that guy who wrote Curse of Fenric and Dragonfire. He wrote both of those, and in both of those, he makes her straight. Well, actually, I don't think he made her straight in Curse of Fenric. I think that was the actors.
Yeah. But, which is a shame. I'm glad that they were having a good time. It doesn't read, and it's weird.
Nathan Laws was saying something about in like in a book, she winds up married to one of his descendants or ancestors.
That's super one of the weird.
Two. Yeah. And it like ties in with the whole, you know, Wolves of Fenric curse thing. But no, stop it. But yeah, she was, and he was also the guy who was like, yeah, her and Savalon Glitz fucked. So that's also wrong.
Stop trying to make that happen.
We know that Ace likes the boom lady. I don't remember her name. From Battlefield.
The boom! The boom lady.
Yeah. You know, they say boom back and forth. She likes her. She likes Cat Lady. I don't remember her name either. It began with a K or something. Catra.
That's right. It was Catra.
Or the woman from Ghostlight. Just, you know, Ace's girlfriend of the week. Also, Ace has the coolest jacket.
I still want one, so...
With all the patches?
Yeah, just a reminder.
I was going to get it for you one year, and then I didn't, because I was worried it was not going to fit and all this stuff.
That's a valid concern.
So, we've ranked the companions. It was very hard, but we did it. If I was to... Okay, so if I was to include Brig, K-9, and Glitz...
Fine. This is nonsense. This is nothing, but let's hear it.
Well, it would be Ace, then Mel, then the Brig, then Glitz... And then K-9.
Explain?
Glitz just had a better story. K-9 was just there to spout facts at us about the moon.
Fine. Again, this means nothing. Your premise is already nonsense. Let's move on.
Okay.
Sweet 12.
Yeah, let's do the sweet 12.
The sweet, sweet 12.
We've taken all 12 of the Seventh Doctor's serials. We've put them in a bracket, and we're going to make them fight each other.
These results are not... in any way legally binding or possibly reflective of my own opinion.
But yeah, we're gonna put them up against each other and see what comes out the victor.
Sometimes we get to the end of the bracket and we're disappointed in ourselves.
One time that happened.
Yeah.
The fourth Doctor. But that's because his air is so...
First of all, it's huge. Yeah. Yeah. It's
chunky.
It's just a chunky era.
So how I've got this, I just put the 12 episodes, because there's only 12 serials. Last time we had to do a sweet 11, which is just awful in the mouth. Sweet 12 is also awful, but not as bad. I put the 12 serials awful in a randomizer and shuffled them about, and now they're fighting against each other. Are you ready?
I'm ready, but also please remember...
You can't remember anything.
I don't have a working memory.
So I will...
No one can hold me responsible for my own opinions. Thank you.
I will also give you a brief recap of what is in these episodes. Okay, so first up we have Remembrance of the Daleks.
Is that one of the good ones?
Yes.
If it's a Dalek, I kind of just assume that it's not.
Remembrance of the Daleks has Ace beating the shit out of a Dalek with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah!
It has the racism thing.
Yes.
The no colored sign. It has the Doctor going back to basically where he left as the first Doctor and getting the Hand of Omega and destroying the Daleks completely. And he's just terrifying. And the unlimited rice pudding is in that one. So that's Remembrance of the Daleks. And it's up against Battlefield, which was the one where the Brig comes back. There's the medieval, like, wizard lady with the blue demon guy. And boom! Also racism, but it's Ace saying a slur.
I am tempted to move on Daleks because it doesn't have Ace saying a slur in it.
I would move it on as well because I think it's a better serial. Battlefield's fun.
It's fun, but Daleks might be better.
It's better constructed. And you know who would agree?
Who?
The guy who wrote them. He wrote both of them.
Oh, really?
The same guy wrote both of them. Yeah.
Sometimes we pass on the one that's more fun.
That's true.
Sometimes we're like, that's technically a better serial, but that one's bonkers crazy and it's fun. So we're going to pass on the one that's more true. Fun.
I mean, I think Remembrance is still fun too, though.
Yeah.
Because again, it has Ace beating the shit out of a Dalek with a bat.
All right. So Remembrance moves on.
Next up, we have Dragonfire, which introduced Ace and was the last serial with Mel.
Has the best cliffhanger.
The best literal cliffhanger has the dragon, has that little girl just wandering around in a spaceship. It has Savalom Glitz. It has the great philosophical discussion with the guard and the guy that his face melts. Pretty fun. It's up against the Happiness Patrol.
Oh, shit. The Happiness Patrol. That doesn't even feel like a competition. Like, right. Do you disagree?
No, I think it's the Happiness Patrol.
Okay.
Should I say what it's about real quick?
Yeah.
What's it about? Everybody's got to be happy. And there's a little wolf creature. There's some rats in the sewer. That's the weakest part, but there's blues music. And Ace has a girlfriend in that one, too.
Yes.
You know who Ace's girlfriend is in Dragonfire, though?
Who?
Mel.
Oh, my God, you're right.
But yes, I think the Happiness Patrol wins, because it's much better. Dragonfire is just kind of wobbly. All right. Next up, we have Time and the Ronnie.
Which I remember being, like, fun, but not amazing.
There's a big, giant brain in it. And historical figures like Einstein and stuff. The Ronnie dressed up like Mel.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember much else. And that's up against The Curse of Fenric, which is the, you know, vampires.
I would say Curse of Fenric.
Curse of Fenric? I agree. One that rips off Stephen King. This is going pretty smoothly so far. Oh, fuck. This one's going to be a toughie. We have Paradise Towers. Which
I want to move on.
Which is Blue Kangs and Red Kangs.
Thoroughly enjoyed Paradise Towers.
And Pex Lives and the Old Ladies. It's up against the greatest show in the galaxy.
Ah, fuck! Damn it!
Which has clowns and it's super fucking meta.
I think, fuck.
And the Wolf Lady.
This is upsetting.
It is.
Because Paradise Towers should not be knocked out this early, but I can't...
I know.
But it can't not be greatest show in the galaxy.
I agree. Galaxy.
In the galaxy. In the galaxy. Every time we do this, we're like, this is inherently a bad system.
It always pits, like, the two best ones, like, right off the
top. This is inherently a bad system, and it means nothing. Anyway, please continue to listen to us do it for the next 20 minutes.
But I do think there is a clear winner, and I do think it's the greatest show in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Out of those two.
I'm upset about it, but you're not wrong.
All right, here we go. Next up, we have Silver Nemesis, which is...
Every time I hear Silver Nemesis, I think about Silver Surfer first. And then have to remember what Silver Nemesis is. But it's the...
Cybermen. It's the one with the two medieval people. One of them is like, just goes slowly crazy. Lady Painfort.
Lady Painfort is fun.
The weapon that the doctor put into orbit.
I remember thinking that this one was fun, but kind of messy.
Yeah. It's like jazz. And there's jazz in it. And it's up against Remembrance of the Daleks, which is the same story, but better. It's literally the exact same thing, except Daleks instead of Cybermen. Hand of Omega, Silver Nemesis.
Right. Do you want to pass on Remembrance?
I do want to pass on. I like Silver Nemesis, but I think Remembrance is just better.
I trust you. I trust your opinion.
Next up, we have The Happiness Patrol, which we've already talked about.
Yes.
Up against Ghostlight, which is the hard-to-follow one that's about control and light and lost luggage Everybody goes on and on about Ghostlight. I think it's just okay. I think it's up its own ass a little bit too much. I think it's more confusing than it is good. Like, I get that it's about all these things, but also while watching it, I was like, I can't follow any of this.
So, Happiness Patrol?
Happiness Patrol. Not like saying I didn't like Ghostlight. I just don't think it's as great as some people think it is. All right, next up we have Survival, which is the last one with the cats and the leopard or cheetahs and the master who's a cat and has a cat boy up against The Curse of Fenric.
This one's hard for me because I remember Survival more, and so I'm tempted to pass it on that basis. I will defer to your opinion.
Honestly, I think Survival might be better. Like, I think Curse of Fenric has a lot going on, and it's good. It's really good. I do think Survival is more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's solid beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are parts of Curse of Fenric that don't fully work for me. Like, the flirting scene. There's some, like, clunky bits in Curse of Fenric.
Yeah, there's parts of Curse of Fenric that feels like it could have been better executed.
So, I'm cool with moving Survival on if you want to move Survival on.
Okay.
And this is the last one that has a serial we haven't talked about yet. But it's The Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Galaxy. And it's up against Delta and the Bannermen. You like Delta and the Bannermen?
I enjoy Delta and the Bannermen.
It's bonkers.
And if I could pass it on just for being bonkers, I would. But I can't.
The Greatest Show in the Galaxy is just... Delta and the Bannermen is good, but it's also like, what the fuck are you doing half the time? There's that weird beekeeper. There's those two Americans.
It's very stupid, and I love it very much. I like Delta and the Bannermen.
The guy who just eats baby food to become an alien.
First of all, the puppet, or they had like a costume that they worked really hard on, and then...
Oh yeah, the alien baby.
A single shot, and then it's just a toddler with green face paint.
So, but greatest show in the galaxy?
Greatest show in the galaxy. In the galaxy.
Remembrance of the Daleks.
Yes.
Against the Happiness Patrol.
What do you think?
Well, I like Remembrance of the Daleks, and I like the Happiness Patrol. I think the Happiness Patrol is more fun. I would show someone the Happiness Patrol before I'd show them Remembrance of the Daleks, because it's so weird and fun.
It does.
And colorful.
It doesn't feel like the popular answer, but I think we should do it.
I think so too. I think Remembrance is good, but it's also got a lot of, like, grim darkness that I prefer the Happiness Patrol. It has grim darkness too, but it's more fun. All right, Happiness Patrol is moving on. Survival versus The Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
I think I can see what's going to happen here.
Is that it's going to keep going up against ones we like, but it's...
I mean, can we just be done? Is Greatest Show in the Galaxy not going to win the bracket?
It might. So you think it's better than Survival? Because I think it's better. I like Survival, but I think it's better than Survival.
I think it's better than Survival.
Like, it's been up against some strong contenders, but it keeps bessing, because it's about Doctor Who. It's so clever and also fun, and has a
song that gets stuck in your head,
and a guy who just eats a burger out of his motorcycle.
Oh shit, that's right, it does have that.
All right, this is our final one.
Okay,
The Happiness Patrol versus The Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
I think we know.
Yeah.
But I would like to call Christine just to make it official.
Okay. I will say Happiness Patrol does have one negative, and I don't think Greatest Show does.
What's that?
The rat people.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying we know. I just want...
Yeah.
I want Christine to christen it.
Christen it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be, we know what's going to happen, but I was going to say, if it was up against Paradise Towers, it'd be a little bit harder for me.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, we did it right at the beginning. It was Greatest Show in the Galaxy versus Paradise
Towers. Yeah, we did it, and it wasn't difficult for you. What are you talking about?
It was a little difficult. I'm saying, if I had to pick between Happiness Patrol and Paradise Towers, I'd pick Paradise Towers. You'd pick
Paradise Towers. No, yeah.
Yeah. It's just the way this cookie crumbled.
Tell her we're just calling for her to make it official. There is a correct answer, and we know what it is.
Hello.
Hello.
Guys, I am so excited about Doctor Who right now.
Oh, you know what I'm excited about? I wanted to call you and tell you that my tire with pineapple on it was absolutely delicious. So thank you.
Wow.
You're very welcome.
I'm just going to run this bit into the ground. Why are you excited about Doctor Who?
Because I don't know if you guys have talked about this on the episode that you're recording, but we have a new doctor.
Yes, the double the one we're currently talking about.
She's perfect. I'm excited for the possibility that Doctor Who is about to get very, very, very gay.
Right? Like, just aggressively gay.
Just aggressively, aggressively gay.
In the way that Chibnall never could.
Yes, of course. Also, just in a way that Russell T. Davies never quite could before.
Right.
I am excited for this era of Doctor Who that's coming up to just look like the Happiness Patrol.
Interesting.
Speaking of...
We are on our final one. We know the winner, but we just want to call and confirm it with you. I'm sure you'll choose the same as us. Our final two are The Happiness Patrol versus The Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
I mean, of those two, it's the one that I was on.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
There's only one answer, and this is it.
That is it. Earlier, Hallie asked me what I thought the best Seventh Doctor story was. I said that it was like, I don't know. It's either Greatest Show in the Galaxy, Remembrance of the Daleks, or Curse of Penric. And so I was like, I hope they don't have to make me choose between one of those three. So I'm glad you did not.
Remembrance actually lost out to the Happiness Patrol, but it got pretty far.
We're going to vote for aesthetic every time.
Curse of Penric actually got voted out on its second go.
Guess what?
Survival.
Survival? I understand that. Survival, I would also put as a possible contender of the best Seventh Doctor story.
The one that I was bummed about that we lost first round because we lost it to The Greatest Show in the Galaxy was Paradise Towers.
Oh, Paradise Towers does rule.
They're also good.
The thing is, like, none of it's really bad. The only thing that's really bad is Time and the Rani, and even that's just, you know, fine.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's just, and here's the thing, you could do that now. Like, all of, like I said, like, you could make Happiness Patrol now. Oh, God. There was someone on Twitter who was saying that, like, I don't want this Doctor to have one outfit. No more the Doctor has an outfit. Every episode, this Doctor should have a different outfit.
Yes.
But it does, I mean, it does need to be, like, extra every time.
Extra? No, yeah. It gets more extra each time.
But also, at least one or two of them should be very easily cosplayable.
Of course. I'm hyped. I'm ready.
Well, we still got one episode to get through before we get there.
Yeah, but like at the end, he'll probably be in it, so I'm fine. And Ace is gonna be in it, and Tegan's gonna. I love Ace and Tegan. I am sure Chris Chibnall will attempt to ruin them.
I'm afraid he's going to undo what Davies did for Tegan.
Oh right, yeah.
Because Davies made Tegan and Nyssa
a couple.
A couple, yeah.
I am very excited about the future of Doctor Who for the first time in a while. Like, not, I mean, I've been, like, excited since Russell was coming back, but, like, especially now, because now I can see the take. Now I can kind of get the shape of what it's gonna look like, and it's gonna be, like, huge.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, I think that's the thing. I think, like, Russell T. Davies is, like, someone who very much has his finger on the pulse of, like, what people like. I think, like, he is a very, like, populist writer. I think the idea of him doing that with also just a very, very gay Doctor Who.
Like, and purposefully gay.
Purposefully gay. Like, yeah, like, Doctor Who's been gay forever.
I mean, technically the era we're in now has Yaz and 13, but it's just so poorly handled.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's gay as much as it is homophobic.
Yeah, considering, like, most of the other gay characters in this era just die, so.
Exactly. And, like, just the idea of the Doctor looking at Yaz, it's just like, oh, I would date you, but I can't. I've dated people before. I was married once. I can't do it again. You're great, though. I would. Oh, I would, but I can't.
Do you think it was, like, because, like, it has been confirmed that that was not, like, his original intention, right? That's something that he put in later. Was like, oh, right. People want this, I'll do it. Do you think he's like, oh, wait, Yaz is gay? Well, I can't kill her because she's a cop.
And on that note, I will leave you to recording. But, yes, Greatest Show in the Galaxy, Greatest Serial, Greatest Era, Greatest Show.
Yeah, in the Galaxy.
In the galaxy.
Well, thank you, and sorry for all the confusion over pizza.
It happens.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Wrong number. We did it. Greatest Show in the Galaxy is the winner of the Sweet 12. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for our final thoughts on the Seventh Doctor.
Doctor Who is all about change. For almost 59 years, the show has gone through many regenerations.
One thing always consistent is a sense of hope and wonder across all space and time.
It's the dawn of a new era, and your friends at our Station Who will be here to cover everything to come this year and beyond. Please rate and subscribe to our show wherever fine podcasts are found.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Yeah, what time is it?
What time is it?
Yeah, what time is it?
I'm asking you. What time is it? You want me to tell you?
Yes, I asked first. You were looking at a carrot video.
It's 3:16.
No, what time? What do we do at this point in the podcast?
To be honest with you, I don't know. What else is there to talk about?
We do our final thoughts.
Okay.
Are you ready for final thoughts?
Clearly I'm not. Would you like to give your final thoughts?
Sure, let's do it.
Final thoughts.
I figure we could do it duo like we did last time.
Oh, we're doing it together?
Yeah.
We're sharing it?
Yeah, we're sharing the final thoughts.
Want you to touch my final thoughts.
I want to know your thoughts and your feelings and your overall vibeness of...
Can you tell me all your thoughts on God?
I'd really like to meet him. No, I want to know what your thoughts are on this era of Doctor Who, the Seventh Doctor.
Just really like it a whole bunch.
It's solid.
It's kind of a bummer that it's the, you know, last one for a long while. It's kind of a bummer that we didn't get to have more of it.
There wasn't a single serial that made me infuriatingly angry. So
yeah, Christine was saying like the worst ones are just like, fine. Oh, that was fun. And those are only bad because the highs are so much higher. I think I've said this a whole bunch of times, but I will reiterate it in my final thoughts. Absolutely fascinated by this era that it's attempted to establish all this new lore and like never fully committed to it. And so all this lore exists in like this half canon state. I'm fascinated by how much I'm like, those are all terrible ideas, but like love this era.
Right.
Where I'm like, the characters are great. It's playing with a lot of cool ideas. But also, if it had actually, like, committed to some of these ideas, I'd be like,
You know what it feels like to me, kind of? Like, the opposite of Chibnall. I think Chibnall had a lot of great ideas. Like, I think Ruth is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other good ideas. But he just can't write anything for them. That's what I think. It's, like, the exact opposite of this.
Interesting. Because I think Chibnall is pulling from the lore of this era a lot, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Or not the stuff that never got fully established.
Yeah, this and the Sixth Doctor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still think part of him was trying to do Trial of a Time Lord, but better, and didn't. Maybe marginally, just because Trial of a Time Lord was so bad. So bad. But yeah, it does feel like he is pulling a lot, specifically from those two eras.
But yeah, I'm fascinated by this, because you would think that these things would go hand in hand. Because part of what I like about this era is the darker Doctor. Darker, but also kinder. I feel like there are sometimes the like doctors that we think of as like nice, like care about people less, whereas the doctors that we think of as like darker or maybe more manipulative, like actually seem like more empathetic, or like they care about the interior of their companion's, you know, world, right?
Mm-hmm. Even though this doctor did some of the sketchiest,
some of the most
shit.
Fucked up shit,
Ghostlight and Fenric specifically.
He also like it's like he's doing that fucked up shit because he's paying attention. Does that make sense? Where it's like there is that opportunity for more fucked up shit because there's a more developed, intimate relationship, as opposed to just like this is a character who's around. I don't know if anything I just made sense.
Oh yeah, I followed it.
Okay,
this season or this era is incredibly well written. There's just a lot of characterization that I don't think we've ever really had, like maybe since the first Doctor era, having like such an arc. Like I feel like the fifth Doctor era tried so hard to have character arcs,
mm-hmm.
and just
Well, I feel like
bad.
The fifth Doctor era was like, conflict is important, but then like didn't care or didn't think about motivating that conflict in any meaningful way. And so it's just bickering.
Right.
And you're like, conflict is important, but like just having people like fight is obnoxious. If it's motivated and you can see where both people are coming from and you're like, oh God, that's tough. But yeah. When it's like these two people are being like insufferable because they're fighting about something that they should be able to resolve in a matter of seconds. They're just being like stubborn and annoying. That was my big problem with like a lot of the, we need to have conflict.
And like, also I feel like the character stuff in the fifth Doctor era was more sometimes just because of plot. Like, oh, we got to move the plot forward. So like Turlo is evil. And so we got to pad that out. Whereas like the character stuff with like Ace is like sort of not dependent on the plot in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's its own thing that helps move the plot, but it's not dependent on the plot. It's not like she's only doing these things for plot reasons.
Right.
It's because of character reasons. And it's a lot better. Ace is amazing. Like I was looking forward to Sylvester McCoy, but I think Ace turned out to be my favorite, like more so than the Doctor.
Really?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if I could say that.
No, you like the Doctor?
I like their dynamic so much. I think the dynamic between the two of them is part of what makes this era so good. So I couldn't put either one above the other. It's something in the chemistry between the two.
Yeah, I don't think there's been this solid of a like Doctor companion duo since maybe Two and Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is hard to separate the two of them, mm-hmm. I feel like. When I was like making gifs for this, I tried to do like an Ace set, a Mel set, a Seventh Doctor set. It was hard to find just gifs that were just Ace or just the Doctor and not the Ace and the Doctor.
The two of them being awesome together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is great. Do you want to do any predictions about the Eighth Doctor?
I mean, we've seen it. We've watched it.
I predict that a talking cat is going to be the master.
A talking cat?
You know what? In Survival, the master was a talking cat.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. We're going to be doing a look back at all of classic Doctor Who in our next episode, and we're also going to cover Dimensions and Time. And then after that, we're going to do the Eighth Doctor movie. And then we'll have some special episodes, which I'll announce on our next episode. But if you liked this episode of the podcast, check out more on WatchYourAssLawn.com. You can also find our podcast, our Patreon, and more at linktree.com/watchathon. That's linktr.ee/watchathon. And special thanks to all of our friends of Rassilon for helping us through this season and Classic Who. I'm going to give you all individual shout-outs on our next episode. I also want to give a special shout-out to Vince and EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
You can check out more of their music at vinceandel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about Dimensions and Time and take a look back at all of classic Doctor Who. Until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Wicked.
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 That was a nice nap. Now, down to business.
Come on, Ace. We've got work to do.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.